So I'm going to start the interview. This is the follow-up interview with Hillary Virtanen. This is a phone interview, so Hillary will tell us where she is after I finish. I am at the UW-Madison Archives on the fourth floor of Steenbach Library on the campus of UW-Madison, obviously. And my name is Troy Reeves, and I head the UW-Madison Oral History Program. So Hillary, if you could start off by, even though we have it on the first interview, if you could say your name and spell your last name and then tell us where you are.
Okay. I'm Hillary Virtanen, that's V-I-R-T-A-N-E-N, and right now I'm at my brand new office at Mannerheim Hall on the campus of Finlandia University in Hancock, Michigan. So I'm still a grad student at UW, but I'm working full-time now to finish my dissertation.
Okay. I want to start with that. I don't remember whether we got it on the last interview. I don't think we did. So sort of my first question is if you wouldn't mind giving us the journey that has taken you to Hancock, Michigan.
Well, in the midst of all the stuff that was going on down in Madison during the past spring and summer terms, I had been kind of keeping my eye on this Finlandia University, which is a Finnish immigrant-established Lutheran college in Upper Michigan, where I'm from. And so they had had a position open up specifically in my area of interest, which would be both teaching and outreach and focusing on Finnish and a Finnish-American heritage. So I've been, you know, every 6 months or so, always calling them and being like, hey, when are you guys going to give me a job? Hey, when are you guys going to give me a job? And finally they called me and they were like, hey, you're not doing anything in the fall, are you? So we worked together pretty quickly, and now I'm the Paulo Hamo Scholar up here, which is a grant-funded but pretty cool position.
Okay. So obviously you're new there, but if you could give us at least what you've been told or what you expect the aspects of your job to be.
It'll be really exciting. Half of my job, I'll be working at this place called the Finnish American Heritage Center, which is a museum, outreach center, archives, and newspaper office. And so it does a lot of things with Finnish American culture, both you know, in this region and across the country, and actually internationally too. So I'll be doing outreach. I'm helping right now to establish enrichment courses for the community, including Finnish language and possibly Swedish language and folk dancing and folk music courses. And then I'll also be working on a national heritage festival that's coming up here in 2013 called FinFest. And the other half of my job is I'll be working to develop curriculum with the faculty here that'll incorporate more Finnish and Finnish American heritage studies for all the students to take. And I'll also be working on a program called the Paulo Hamo Fellows Program, where upperclassmen will get to design their own research projects, and I'll work with them during the course of spring semesters to do their preliminary research, and then in the month of May, we'll all go together to Finland and do field research. So, yay!
Will this be your first time to go to Finland?
No. No, I've been before, but not for research purposes.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you for that. And as I said in our emails exchanges, I don't have a lot of questions to ask, so I don't think I'll take too much of your time today. But let's jump in. And I'm wondering, since we last talked, and I honestly don't remember when that was, sometime it was August, early August, so about a month ago, the TA, and I don't know the specifics, the TA voted, and they didn't get enough votes to continue as a union. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I went to the meeting before the vote meeting where we discussed the ramifications for, you know, following Scott Walker's, what we consider to be illegitimate plans to make unions work, you know, six times as hard to be a union. So I didn't expect that we would get enough votes to do that, and I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that it's a good thing for us to organize. This isn't the only time that the TAA has lost its status. And so this will be a good chance for us to be like, we don't need no stinking validation from Scott.
Okay. So a lot of these, actually, there's only a couple more questions, honestly, in there, and there's about the future. And now that you've moved to Upper Michigan, they may somewhat be moot, but I know you, you know, you lived here for a good chunk of time, and so I expect you to have opinions on what you think will happen. First off, though, these are questions about you personally. Obviously, you have a new job, but what are your, or what do you think are your professional plans for the future?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on whether or not the United States decides to collapse or not, because it just seems like stuff's going so crappily as a country that you know, I think a lot of people, and with good reason, are sort of wondering if there will be a such thing as the USA in a couple of years. It's sort of starting to look like the fall of Rome from where I'm sitting. But if shit doesn't hit the fan and I'm not living in a cave somewhere and hunting deer, I hope to get a keep working in this region doing the same stuff I'm doing now, which is, you know, public outreach and working with local communities to share their heritage in ways that is meaningful to them, and then working with students to educate them about, you know, what heritage means and why humanities is an important component of a college education. So keeping my fingers crossed for that.
All right. Your initial comments to that sort of segues into my follow-up question. So what are your future plans politically or as a political activist to perhaps avoid the USA crumbling like Rome?
Well, I'm certainly not going to shut up and sit down. I think that I'm definitely going to work within, at least up here at the local bounds of the political community. So I really do hope to start working with the Houghton County Democrats very soon. And they have extremely restrictive rules for getting a driver's license here in Michigan, which sort of frustrates me because I've already had a driver's license. So I need to find about 5 different forms of identification, a couple of which are housed in different courthouses and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm going to get my state ID, and I'm going to sign to recall Rick Snyder as soon as humanly possible. And I'm going to keep my eye on what's going on nationally, like I've been doing with the Virtual Wisconsin page. So I still keep that up, and I've actually gotten another administrator on that page, and he's from Rhinelander, and he's really good at posting stuff that's of local interest. You know, and I always keep my eye on what's going on at Madison because, you know, I mean, first of all, I was there for all that, and I want to see how it ends. And, you know, I care about all the people that I left behind. So I think for the future, though, I'm definitely going to make sure to talk with people and make sure that people know that there's other ways to think about things and just sort of point out fallacies when I see them, you know, reply to stupid letters to the editor in the local paper and stuff. I mean, all that stuff chips away at people's resistance to thinking about what's really going on here. So that's what I hope to do.
So it sounds like you will continue to be active.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do hope to make sure to be involved in things like student voter registration drives and stuff on campuses, because there's 2 colleges here in the Twin City area that I'm living in. So those are a lot of people who need to be able to exercise their right to vote and to know what it is that they're voting for, you know.
Okay. And I want to back up now to February and March, and this is a very open-ended question. Last interview, just to remind you, you talked about the run-in, although that's sort of a strong term, you had with Jesse Jackson, and then one of the senators.
Oh, Randy Hopper.
Right, the Randy Hopper. And I'm wondering if you happen to have any other sort of strong thoughts or memories. It may be repeats from the last time, since it's been a month since we met, but any strong memories, opinions, stories that jump out at you when you think of those weeks in February and March when you were at the Capitol?
Well, one of the things that I remember that really, that, you know, I pretty much burst into tears every time I think about, I'm getting for Clint now, is the day that the senators left and nobody knew it yet. We were all inside the rotunda, and, you know, people were just standing there. We were basically just waiting to get put on the guillotine and have our heads chopped off. And so I had brought my oldest daughter, she was 8 at the time, and we had a backpack full of supplies for the day, you know, my laptops and food and a bunch of juice boxes. And there was this lady with her little boy, and you could tell he was kind of bored, and you could tell that she was extremely concerned. And he was just kind of sitting there fiddling with stuff, and, you know, he looked like he could be doing something else or, you know, wanted to be doing something. So I had Audrey go over and offer him a juice box. And so the lady and I started talking, and then the loudspeaker started sounding, and it was, you know, time for the vote call. And so everybody, you know, got as quiet as we could, even though it was extremely loud in there. And we were kind of near a speaker, and so I think we could hear a little bit better than some people, but we were inside a little alcove, and so it was still kind of hard to hear. And we just kind of, I remember we just stood there, and we were trying to be as quiet as possible, and I know I was like, everybody quit moving, don't breathe, let's be quiet, let's hear what the speaker's saying. And that's when the thing, you know, the guy on the loudspeaker was like, no quorum, no quorum, and we both kind of looked at each other, and we're like, what? You know, and we just, like, I didn't understand what that term meant for a minute. And then when we started hearing the cheering and realized what was going on, we were like, ah, you know, and we just gave each other this huge hug, and we were like, oh, my God, and we just had no idea who wasn't there or what had happened. And the first rumors were that it was only five people hadn't shown up. And, of course, I didn't know what the rules for quorum were at the time or even what quorum really was. But one of the rumors was that one Republican hadn't made it in either. And so it was just so tense because we didn't know what the situation was. But at the same time, it was just like, wow, you know, somebody stayed our execution for a minute. And we just, it's just one of those things where every time I think about it, I mean, even right now, I'm crying about it because it was just so exciting to think that, you know, you hire somebody as an elected official and they'll actually do something for you. Sorry, I'm reaching for my Kleenex box.
Yeah, that's, I figured there was either water being sipped or Kleenex being grabbed for. That's the bad thing about a phone interview is you're never quite sure what's going on the other end.
Yeah.
So
that was just a really, you know, it was so exciting just to think that somebody really put themselves on the line for us. And then, you know, once the full details came to be known, it was just so exciting. It was, you know, kind of like a folk hero thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like listening to, as a folklorist thinking of, I can't even think of their names now, you know, just like kind of outlaws, good outlaws, you know, like Jesse Jackson, or not just Jackson, Jesse James, mm-hmm. but actually a good outlaw way. So, you know, it was just really exciting like that. And there was a lot of moments like that where, you know, you'd see somebody do something nice for people, or you'd see somebody talking with a Tea Partier and it wasn't totally horrible, or, you know, you'd see just people really celebrating the fact that we're all sticking together and just doing this, that we're just, you know, that'll always stick with my mind forever.
Well, thank you. One more thing, and this is because in between the time that we met, there were recall elections here, and I know you were gone to Michigan by the time the recall elections actually happened, but my guess is...
I watched the Green Bay News with bated breath.
Do you mind sort of walking us through your memories of that night and just sort of your thoughts about the aftermath of that and what that might mean?
Yeah, well, I remember when Hansen survived his recall, that I was really shocked that 33% or 34% or whatever of the people in his district even voted for his opponent, Vander Leest, just because the guy is just so horrible. I mean, he just made such a poor opponent on, you know, every level. But I was, again, just overjoyed that Hansen won, because when I first started kind of learning more about Dave Hansen and about how he was the one who got the bill passed to make labor history a part of Wisconsin's, you know, curriculum, I just really, really got a kind of soft spot in my heart for him. And he was one of the guys who, when he came back into town and they had the welcome back parade, you know, I saw him and I was like, Hansen, woo! And he pointed at me and he was like, yeah! So that was really exciting to see him get reelected. And I knew for a fact that Kim Semichley, I was just thinking, you know, you'd have to be an entire district on drugs in order to elect her. I mean, she just wasn't very smart, and I was sort of saddened that so many people voted for her, too. But at the same time, I mean, Holbrin really proved himself in that election. You know, that's the second time that's happened to him. So I was really excited to see that Holbrin and Wirsch had survived, and that they survived by a good margin that they did. Because it was, you know, driving up through Vilas County in those areas when I was moving up here, there were a lot of Semic signs, and they were all in front of businesses, some of which I suspect were probably owned by Semic. So, you know, I was really happy to see it happen. I was disappointed that we didn't get a majority, but some of those districts, it would have been really difficult to win, and I know that. So, you know, I was happy to see the gains that were made, and just happy to know that, you know, people in Wisconsin across the state, no matter what their political beliefs, I mean, I think that they're going to pay a lot more attention to what it is that candidates are saying and doing in the future. You know, at least that's what I'm hoping.
All right. Hillary, that's all the questions I have. Is there anything on your mind about, really, anything related to the beginnings and the protest and then the aftermath that you would like to get on the record? And
well, I just want to say that this kind of stuff is going on across the country, you know, and that it's not just affecting Wisconsin. You know, it exploded in Wisconsin, but it's nationwide, and it was really heartening when this all broke out. To see the things that people started doing in Ohio. I mean, yeah, semi-truck full of signatures to get their referendum on the ballot, you know, this fall. That was just really heartening to see. And it's been a little hard in Michigan because their recall rules are a little different, and so they actually have to recollect some of the earliest recall signatures that were collected. And so they've had a hard time, and they haven't had the same sort of burst of energy that we got in Madison. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I just think that people across the country are really waking up to the fact that a lot of people have been shooting themselves in the foot every time they vote. And I'm hoping a lot of people will stop doing that.
All right, Hillary. I'll reserve the right to email if there's something that, as I review these recordings, if something jumps out at me that I should have asked or should have asked a follow-up and didn't. But as of now, I think we are done. So if you don't mind, I'm going to hit stop, but then I'd like to chat with you for a minute or two before we actually part ways. So,
okay.
Hillary, thank you very much. And this concludes the interview with Hillary Vertanen about the Capitol protests 2011.